I don't believe in democracy anymore. I know you don't like hearing that, and you will resist this at first. I know I did. But hear me out. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Forget the revolutionist Freemasonic indoctrination we all grew up with, and ask yourself this. What the hell do you or I or the vast majority of people know about running a country? What makes us qualified to decide who the next leader of this country should be? And the reasons some people give for voting for this or that person, he's black, she's a woman, he's a great public speaker, etc., only reinforces in my mind how absurd democracy is. Yes, I know we don't live in a true democracy. Speaking of the United States, we live in a democratic republic. People who know the inherent flaws of a true democracy like to remind us of this, as if the republican aspect somehow shields us from those flaws. Well, it doesn't. And most people use the term democracy, although incorrectly, when describing the American system of government, probably because democratic republic is a mouthful. So I will be using the terms democracy and republic interchangeably in this video. Now, I have become a monarchist, and just saying it sounds strange to me. How could anyone, let alone an American, actually want to be ruled by a king rather than have the freedom of democracy? Well, first of all, I'm not a monarchist for monarchy's sake. I don't support Muslim or pagan monarchies, nor do I simply prefer a Christian monarchy. I support Catholic monarchy, a society that recognizes that Christ is king, not just of hearts and minds, but of governments and laws, where Catholic morality is imposed and the Catholic Church has oversight. This is the true Catholic form of government. If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Patrick Rendell. You can also like and follow us on Facebook as well as X. The links for those are also in the description. We are told that democracy is the natural end of history, that monarchy was a childish phase, that Christendom was a mistake, and that modern man finally grew up when he learned to rule himself. This, of course, is nonsense. Modern democracies and republics did not evolve out of Christendom. They were forced through revolution. But here's the dirty little secret. Democracies and republics are built on a lie, a gigantic assumption that the majority will choose the good. Yet the majority is rarely wise, often emotional, and easily manipulated. Democracy assumes the goodness of man, yet we know from scripture and tradition that man's fallen nature is selfish, petty, and evil. Man does not vote for the common good. He votes based on his evil desires and passions. As well, scripture tells us authority comes from God, not the people. Romans 13:1. There is no authority except from God. Catholic monarchy explicitly acknowledges that political power is derived from God, not manufactured by popular will. The king reigns by divine permission and is morally bound to God's law. By contrast, secular democracies and republics teach sovereignty originates in the people, law is valid because a majority wills it, and authority is procedural, not moral. If authority comes from the people, then the people may redefine morality. Law becomes a reflection of passion, not truth. And there is no higher standard to judge unjust laws. Many Christians today think democracy is Christian, but it's not. It borrows Christian language. It speaks of equality, rights, and dignity, while emptying it of meaning. Christianity never taught that equality means equal authority. Truth is not equal to opinion. Democracy confuses moral equality with governing legitimacy. The majority does not become right because it is large. If that were true, then Christ would have been wrong. It was democracy that killed him. After all, the majority cried, "Crucify him." Monarchy rooted in God recognizes objective moral limits on power, limits democracy explicitly denies. Democracy and republicanism institutionalizes moral relativism. In practice, they inevitably adopt this principle. What the majority votes for becomes lawful. This has produced legalized abortion, no-fault divorce, a redefining of marriage, gender ideology, euthanasia, and suppression of Christian moral teaching. These were not imposed by tyrants. They were the result of our democratic republican system. Now, you might say the redefining of marriage and abortion were imposed by the Supreme Court, not by popular vote. But this still shows the flaw in the system. Those judges were appointed by people voted into office. They are the final authority, and they are not bound by the natural, moral, and divine law. They are bound to the Constitution of the United States, a flawed human document containing such errors as freedom of religion and separation of church and state. Yes, I know separation of church and state is not explicitly in the Constitution. For decades, no one said that louder than me, but it is implied. So says the Supreme Court. Now, think about this for a minute. The highest authority in the land is not bound to the moral, natural, or divine law. It is bound to flawed human law. That alone should tell you all you need to know. And it should tell you why our country has enshrined various immoralities and why it can't be fixed through the system. Catholic monarchy, by contrast, recognizes the natural law, acknowledges that some things are not up for legislation. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that an unjust law is no law at all. Modern democracies and republics teach that unjust laws are binding so long as they are legal, and people have paid the price for not adhering to those unjust laws. Photographers, florists, bakers, and a government official have been forced to pay fines for refusing to participate in certain kinds of marriages. People turn a blind eye to this tyranny and believe that Catholic monarchs were absolute dictators. This is not true. Catholic monarchy is authority bound to the moral, natural, and divine law. A king is morally constrained. A Catholic king must obey God's law, is subject to the church's moral authority, can be judged by popes, bishops, saints, and tradition. Historically, these kings were excommunicated, forced to do public penance, reined in by the church, and yes, even deposed. Realize that it was after the King of England broke from the Catholic Church and set himself up as the ultimate authority that those monarchs became tyrannical. A Catholic king is accountable not to voters, but to God, to the church, and to the moral order. This creates three stabilizing truths. A Catholic king could not redefine morality. Marriage, family, worship, the sacred, these were beyond his power. Democracies and republics rewrite morality every election cycle. A Catholic king has duties, not campaign promises. He wasn't elected to please people. He was anointed by God to serve them. His responsibility is stewardship, not popularity. Catholic monarchy brings continuity and not chaos. Instead of tearing society apart every 4 years, with sometimes wild shifts in policies back and forth and back and forth, a Catholic monarchy offers stability, inheritance, and a long-term vision. A king plants trees he knows he will not sit under. A politician makes short-term decisions to avoid long-term solutions, kicking the big problems down the road for someone else to deal with. Because a democratic republic is not restrained. It recognizes no moral authority above itself. It regulates the church instead of being corrected by it, and enforces ideology through bureaucracy and the courts. The modern state is far more totalitarian than medieval monarchy ever was. Dictatorships are new, and they inevitably rise from failed democratic republics. Representative government sounds noble, choose your own leaders, let the people rule, and yes, you cannot choose your king. But democracies and republics have a tendency to attract people who are ambitious and self-serving, not ones who want to serve, regardless of what they say. And the reality is, a democracy and or republic has a built-in weakness. It eventually becomes ruled by those who can control the people. Not the wise, not the virtuous, not the holy, but corporations, media, entertainment, ideological movements, propaganda, money, emotions, charisma, and eventually an oligarchy. That's right. Eventually, a ruling class emerges. No, you can't be the president. You cannot be senator or representative or governor because you're not from the right family. So nothing has really changed, except this time there is no divine assistance. Democracy claims to give power to the people, but in reality it gives power to whoever influences the people and the ruling class that emerges. Enlightenment democracies and republics offer a flawed view of freedom. Freedom is not the ability to choose anything. Freedom is the ability to choose the good. A Catholic kingdom protected the moral order so that its people could live virtuous lives. Modern democracies dismantle the moral order so that people can freely destroy themselves through vice and sin. One views society like a shepherd guiding sheep toward safety. The other views society as a marketplace where desires compete until the loudest wins. Catholic monarchy protects the common good. When I was a young adult, and much of the immorality we see today was being pushed, we were told, meaning Christians, that we could not impose our morality on others. And if we don't like those movies, those TV shows, and that music, or don't want our kids exposed to them, we simply don't watch or listen to it, nor let our kids watch or listen to it. Well, hopefully everyone realizes now that that doesn't work. We are not islands. What we do affects other people. These things become part of the popular culture, and you can never sufficiently isolate you or your family from it, especially if the kids go to public school. The government has a duty to protect its citizens morally. This is achieved through Catholic monarchy. It cannot be achieved through a secular democratic republic. Monarchy is the natural form of government. Democracies and republics are forced through revolution. We are told these revolutions were the people rising up against tyranny, but this is not true. Only about a third of the colonists were active supporters of the American Revolution. The rest either actively opposed it or wanted nothing to do with it, remaining neutral. Revolutions are one set of elites wresting power from another set of elites, not the people rising up. The founding fathers of the American Revolution were the richest men in the colonies and already held prominent positions. Catholic monarchy acknowledges the divine source of authority, restrains power with moral law, and protects the common good. Secular democratic republics, by contrast, rely on flawed human judgment, institutionalized moral relativism, and leave society vulnerable to manipulation and chaos. True freedom, the freedom to choose the good, requires order, virtue, and the recognition of Christ as King. Christendom fell when man rejected submission to God. Democracy rose when man crowned himself. And today we are watching what happens when authority is cut loose from truth. The question is not whether democracy can be reformed. The real question is this: can a civilization survive when no one is allowed to rule in God's name? Until my next video, God bless.